4:30 on Downtown Monday afternoon. Time for us to visit with our friend Chad Finn of the Boston Globe, basking in the glow of that Patriots victory. Where do I buy my Super Bowl tickets?
I'm sure Roger Goodell could probably hook you up.
Yeah, great, great. I'll travel down there.
I don't know if they're easy to get quite yet. It feels like they're going to avenge those giant Super Bowl losses, doesn't it?
Well, they'll certainly do better than the Giants. They may have already sealed that with their one victory.
Yeah, I know. It's one more than I had them taking in the first 6 weeks. I thought they were going to probably stop 0-6 and start 0-6. And fortunately, they got that one win, the first one in Mio's career, right out of the gate right away. And I don't think anybody, especially the Cincinnati Bengals, anticipated that the Patriots were going to come out and play such a clean and disciplined and well-prepared performance.
Well, that was the thing, pretty much mistake-free. And by the way, who were those guys dressed as the Patriots' offensive line?
Well, I knew the guy on the left because he gave up 70% of the rushes yesterday, the pressure on Brissett. But the other four guys are pretty good. I saw the kind of the deep dive on stats and on Wenyu and Andrews didn't give up a pressure neither during the whole game, which is kind of what you were hoping for because Andrews was hurt during preseason, didn't get any reps, and he looked like kind of classic David Andrews anchoring the line, which is enormous. And they paid in on Wenyu pretty well to come back and stick around, and he was fantastic as well. And then I think Layden Robinson had some issues in the pass protection, but he was a road grader as a blocker for Stevenson. And then they used another rookie, Caden Wallace, as the sixth lineman. They'd have him come in as the eligible receiver as a blocker. Every time he was in, they ran. And I think in those 11 plays, they picked up 71 yards. So that worked really well. Caught the Bengals off guard. When the Bengals adjusted, the Patriots stopped doing it, and then they closed out the game with Wallace on the field for the four plays where Stevenson put the game out of hand. So just a real feel-good performance for the Patriots, and I don't think many of us were expecting that. So it was a really pleasant surprise.
Well, and Stevenson, he's had some big games before for the Patriots, but that was just a solid bell cow running back performance. I don't expect 120 yards every time out, but boy, he was looking great.
Yeah, said afterward he had another quarter in him too, which was nice to hear because he carried the ball 25 times. It was his first 100-yard game since that Raiders game in 2022. I think his high last year was 98, and he had a really weird season. You remember in training camp, they didn't really say there was an injury. He kind of had some ankle issues, but they didn't really work him very hard, and it seemed to you thought they were resting him, and as it turned out, it seemed like there something wasn't quite right all year. The guy we saw yesterday, that was the Ramondre Stevenson of 2022, and we've seen this guy be a really dynamic tackle-breaking back for the brunt of that breakthrough season he had 2 years ago. And that guy was back yesterday. And if he's going to run like that and the line's going to play like that in the run game, this offense might be a little bit better than we were expecting.
Yeah, and we knew the defense would be pretty good. And I think we talked about Keon White, but boy, he looks like a guy who's ready to step up and take it to the next level.
Yeah, I was surprised. He only had one sack last year. Felt like he made more plays than that. But, he's got 2.5 times that now, and every one of them seemed to be a big play. He had all of them came on third down. He had the one he split with Juwan Bentley. Bentley picked up a half sack. He had a great game, too. I think he finished with 12 tackles. He's just been a wildly underrated player during his Patriots career. But you watch White and you say, okay, that may be why they were okay with moving on from Matthew Judon. This took a big step forward. Physical talent's been really obvious. Clearly a hard worker. I mean, he's the guy who was a tight end when he started in college, and now he's put in the work in the weight room to become this kind of a defensive player. Looks like they might have something pretty special there.
And Joey Sly, I mean, he's not Adam Vinatieri yet, but that was pretty sweet yesterday.
What was that?
The Joey Sly taking care of business.
Well, kickers do make field goals, as it turns out. We didn't see a lot of that last season. There are a lot of frustrating things that happened with Bill Belichick's roster building his last couple of years here. Probably the most unforgivable, even though he became a really annoying player, was the way he handled Mac Jones. But on that list is spending two draft picks on kickers. First, that roll roster guy, whatever his name was, the fifth rounder who had all the baggage and didn't even make it here. And then Ryland in the fourth round last year. He's got a booming leg, but was just never accurate. And you bring in a journeyman like Sly, he's played for a bunch of teams. I think he's been in the league 6 years. And he comes in and wins the job. That tells you that was a pretty bad draft pick last year. But at least they corrected that mistake and brought in a guy who's got a little bit of experience and got off to a great start here in New England.
There are a lot of mediocre teams in the NFL. And I know the Bengals are supposedly a Super Bowl contender, but I need to see some evidence of that. I think the Patriots can surprise a few people this year. Now, they're not going to be a 500 team, but I still, what did you say? Five wins? Was that your prediction or four?
I gave them four. I've elevated to five today.
Okay, there you go.
I really thought they were going to have a tough time winning one of their first, winning in their first month and a half. I thought if they did have a chance, it would be the Seattle game coming up. But Cincinnati yesterday just looked like a team that hadn't prepared and wasn't really all that interested in what was going on Sunday. Burrow, I don't know if Burrow is totally healthy. He did not look like Joe Burrow other than for a couple of spurts. And then Jamar Chase is mad about his contract and 28-yard catch, but otherwise kind of played like a guy that wasn't sure he really wanted to be there. And Christian Gonzalez shadowed him all over the place and looked a lot like the Christian Gonzalez that wowed us last year before he got hurt in the fourth game this season. So good development there for the Patriots. But if you're somebody who thinks the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl, good luck with that.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown. You wrote a terrific piece on Tom Brady's debut as a Fox analyst. It was a little rough, to say the least. But as you point out, Tom Brady is always going to be held to a higher standard than anyone else.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are really ripping into him yesterday, and I mentioned, like, one guy said he was one emailer said it's like if a potato could talk, which made me laugh hard when I read it. But I think a lot of the people that made up that were ripping him early in that game were going to rip him no matter what. That they're people who either their team blew a 28-3 lead to Brady in a Super Bowl, or Brady had ruined a lot of their best laid plans over the course of 20 years, just kind of wanted to see Mr. Perfect fall on his face a little bit. And yeah, he looked like a rookie broadcaster who was a little bit overwhelmed when the light went on, but he'll get better. And I think he'll probably be better next week. And he's got a really strong production team there that is going to be specific with him, telling him what he needs to improve on. And him being Tom Brady, he's going to put in the work. He's not going to ever have a perfect voice for it, but he's going to be able to share the kind of insight that a lot of people don't have, very few people have. I think the big thing is just being comfortable speaking without feeling like he needs to pause to think about what he's going to say next, and being specific, telling us what he sees, and not being afraid to be candid. Because if he can do that, if he could have told us a story about Brandon Cooks yesterday after he scored that touchdown, he's a teammate with him for a year and he didn't completely trust him as a receiver, he could have offered a little bit of background there, why he works with Dak Prescott or something like that. So I think he'll get comfortable sharing his knowledge and figuring out how to properly share his knowledge as we go on.
Well, and you pointed this out, and I think this is the key part of it, is learning the pace of the game and when it's your time to come on, not having that awkward pause, knowing when it's time to wrap up so the play-by-play guy can take over. And that's not something you can really simulate in a practice session.
Yeah, as a play-by-play guy yourself, did you see Kevin Burkhardt doing a lot of heavy lifting yesterday?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I felt for Kevin because he was trying to help. He was teeing him up sometimes, and it was clear that rhythm wasn't there. But that's not going to happen in game one.
Yeah, a lot of prompts, I think, for Tom to weigh in. And I don't mind the pregnant pauses. I mean, some of these guys just talk for the sake of talking. I think we're almost gotten to that point now where the insight has kind of dwindled as the players he played with are no longer in the league or getting older, and it's the next generation of players, and he's not as informed as he was when he first got into the booth. And so he just kind of rambles. I don't want that, but I want Brady to say something when he sees something and something's going through his head. And I absolutely know that he could have called out the plays yesterday. When Romo started doing that, every analyst in football said they could do that, that they were encouraged not to. And, you know, as part of Romo being a phenomenon, I would like to hear a little bit of that from Brady telling us, you know, when Prescott lines up, what he's looking at besides being afraid of Myles Garrett or something like that, the kind of things he said yesterday. And I think he'll get to that level. I think he's just got to find that comfort zone, and it's not really fair to expect it on game one.
Speaking of broadcast booths, do you think Joe Castiglione will come back for another season with the Sox?
If I had to bet, I would say this is probably it, but I don't know anything. I talked to him about it at the All-Star, when he went to his Hall of Fame ceremony a couple of days before that, and said he'd make up his mind late in the year, talk to his family and go through it with them. But I kind of got the sense that this might be it for him. I hope it's not. I'd love to hear Joe for a couple more years as long as he wants to do it. But there might probably going to be some changes with the Red Sox broadcast after this year. Everybody thinks that they're going to end up being operated by the Red Sox themselves rather than WEI and Odyssey. And, you know, maybe that leads to changes in the booth or Joe wanting to come back, not wanting to come back. We'll see what their plans are with that, if that's how it ultimately shakes out. But if I had to guess, and it would just be a guess at this point, I would say this is probably it.
I have to ask you about this because yesterday was kind of a blur for me. I flew back from Montana overnight, didn't sleep, and I was in and out of consciousness yesterday. Not a lot of clarity, but at some point in the day, maybe this was just a fever dream, it seems to me I saw something, heard something about Bill Belichick being on Instagram. Can that be true?
No, you were in thin air or something like that. Your mind was totally affected. Not only is he on Instagram, he's pretty hilarious on it, which is just so offensive, because why couldn't he have been that with us?
Right.
But yeah, he's good at it. I don't think that really surprises anybody. I suspect his much younger girlfriend probably nudged him toward finally getting on Instaface.
Well, I think they met on Snapchat, right?
Yeah, his son Brian was laughing about it actually during past practice this week. He thought it was pretty funny and seemed to be amused by his dad being on there. But you know, Bill's got more TV jobs, I think, than anybody I've ever seen, between inside the NFL and the Manning cast tonight for the whole first half and stuff he does with McAfee and a couple of others. And I think he's been brilliant about what he chooses to do. And you look at him, he looks really happy and healthy. And I'm starting to think maybe he doesn't come back to coaching, because this seems to be really working out for him.
Well, I think of a guy like Bill Cowher, who got out of it much younger than Belichick, but you thought he was definitely a guy who would head back to sidelines. But those jobs, with the money they get, those jobs are pretty sweet.
They are pretty sweet. And you know, Cowher's been there a long time, and he's a guy who's always very family-oriented. His wife passed away from cancer, and I think that understandably altered his perspective on work-life balance a little bit. And I've always liked Cowher in this role. I think he's really good at it, and I think he made a great decision for himself. And I'm sure Jimmy Johnson, as long as he's been at Fox, he probably had multiple offers to come back over the years and just decided to hang out in the Florida Keys and do TV one day a week. Not a bad life.
Nope, not at all. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. Chad, we thank you as always. Hope you have a great week, and we'll check in with you again soon.
All right, Rich. Always good talking to you.